And welcome to everybody over on YouTube as we begin another edition of Off the Hook Overtime. Emmanuel over here. Kyle, did you make it?
Of course.
All right. And Alex over on Skype Land, did you make it?
I did indeed.
Okay. Since we don't have Robin Gila this week, we have no way of actually knowing we're on YouTube. But I think it's going to work. I have faith. It's worked all the past few weeks. And if for whatever reason we don't make it onto YouTube, I'm sure somebody will tell us. Our phone number is 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Yeah, I gave the phone number out well before somebody actually called, so how about that?
Operators are standing by.
Are they? Oh, well, you're the operator. You're the one who took the phone.
All right, kind of lounging.
All right, is it ringing yet? Or?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Sometimes it rings before you even get on the air or start this particular segment. Did anyone have anything additional to add to the whole NPR conversation or anything else we were talking about the previous hour?
No, not necessarily. I think, stuff will come up just naturally, but I think it does bear mentioning that we are, in fact, on YouTube. I just checked it.
Oh, thank you very much. That's good to know. The NPR thing is upsetting because it just feels like there's somebody with an agenda labeling things that he doesn't like in a particular way and just trying to push an agenda.
Yeah, it's really petty, and I don't know. If that's big moves, then okay, he can have that. But it's wrong. Like, it puts them in a category of organizations that are wholly distinct from...
No, there is a difference between, state-controlled media... changes its tune based on what they are ordered to do by a dictator or by a totalitarian regime, and something like NPR or Pacifica. It's completely different. And if you're going to categorize things, get it right.
I understand. I've heard their critique, but it's technically kind of, it's misinformed. It's not really based. There's no basis, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's indirectly been associated. It's been accused of that a lot in popular culture. And I think that's more what this is latching on to that and showing that you have some kind of, influence. And
explain to me why Fox News simply can't be categorized right-wing media, because that's what it is. Can anybody argue that point? It's absolutely right-wing media.
Or hate group.
Yeah, well, okay, see, that's where you get into some, rather turbulent territory.
Well, you're listing different things you could label.
Look, they're going to say they're not, they're not promoting hate speech, and we'll argue that they are. But they can't say they're not right-wing. They can't say that. Who can say that Fox News is not right-wing media?
Well, they would enjoy that.
Who cares if they enjoy it or not? The point is, this is an accurate label, but it's not being applied to them. Why is that? They're just getting the blanket moniker of media, something like that. But you're not willing to give that to NPR. You have to put some kind of asterisk next to them and say, oh, look, the government is controlling them, when the government is absolutely not controlling them.
Could you even say that NPR is left-wing media, then, if that scenario played out?
Could say that, but it's a lot harder to prove it than it is to prove that Fox News is right-wing.
Well,
the reason for that is because, left-wing has particular meaning, particular points that NPR does not blindly follow. They report things, and oftentimes you hear people with a left-wing philosophy being heard or represented, but it doesn't mean the network itself has those particular values.
It can become unbearable from administration to administration, especially the press corps, White House press corps, following around George W. Bush for all of that invasion or whatnot. I mean, it was pretty nauseating after a while. And so that's where I would say, is it really that left-wing? I don't know.
It's more left-wing.
They have different personalities.
It's more left-wing than Fox. Okay, but that's not hard to do.
Again, you're not qualifying very much.
Maybe Pacifica, you could say Pacifica is most certainly more left-wing than anything else.
Yeah.
Although there are some ultra-left people on Pacifica who you can see coming around the corner with the right wing, because that's what happens.
What is in the label anyway? And those terms themselves are in different circles, taking on different meanings, even to this day, at the moment to moment.
But there are dog whistles. And when you say certain things, it implies something else. And that's what Elon Musk is doing. So he basically enjoys the attention. We have a phone call? Okay.
Yes.
I wouldn't have babbled for so long if I knew we had a phone
call. I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay.
No, they're not.
Okay, it appears they're already speaking before I even introduced them. But let me try again. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, Emmanuel, calling from Maker Faire Maker Space, a Hacker Space.
Okay, because if you're calling from Maker Faire, you'd be calling from the past because there are no more Maker Faires.
It's a Maker Space, Hacker Space. I don't know what you call it, but we have some guests. We have some guests here. We have Leo. Say hello. You remember Leo?
Hello.
Hello, Leo.
And we have Logic X.
Hello, Logic X.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
And
X389214.
Oh, you can't expect us to remember that.
That's a ham radio signal. So. Anyway, we are here, and I really like it. I've never been to this. I met these guys at the 2600 meeting. Well, I know Leo already, but I met the other guys at the 2600 meeting.
Wait, there is no 2600. Oh, you met them at the 2600 meeting.
Yeah, last Friday.
Okay, how was the meeting?
The meeting was good.
Good to hear.
The meeting was great. I liked it.
Well, that's awesome. I do hope to make it to one of them.
Yeah,
again.
Sounds like you got connected with a good crew there.
Yeah, definitely. So
what's going on?
Yeah, what are you guys up to? What are you doing? Are you revealing leaked documents or anything like that?
Wait a minute.
Have you seen any crumpled papers?
You sound awfully busy. There's a lot of activity going on there.
Emmanuel, hold on. I'm going to pair you with a Bluetooth speaker so I can hear you better.
Yeah, don't let me interfere with whatever you're doing.
No. Pair it with a Bluetooth speaker so that, what's it called?
All right.
Oh, I have to do this.
Take your time.
But I don't have a...
Our time is your time.
No, it doesn't. Okay. Never mind. So anyway, we're here at the Hacker Fair, or Hacker Space.
Yeah, get it right.
Yeah, the Hacker Space. Make it safe.
Is it a maker space or a hacker space? You got to make up your mind.
They'll tell you.
Is it a maker space or a hacker space?
Yeah. It's back at Fab Labs. It's the one in Manhattan. It's a maker space. We call it a hacker space because we're old school.
Okay. All right.
You can do that.
That's clear.
Do you know this? I never been to this place before.
What was the name of it again? Anyone?
Manuel, have you ever been?
No, I asked you, what's the name of it?
It's Fat Cat Fab Lab.
Okay, yeah, now I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
We used to park our van next to Maker
Faire. It reminds me of a mini Hope conference.
Okay, no, that's a good thing.
And there's people doing Linux. What I like about Linux? I'm hearing about Linux. It's like the terminal, like an old terminal, like, you know, the text terminal.
Tell me you've used Linux before now.
I never used Linux. I'm just saying.
I'm a bit envious because there is so much ahead of you now.
Well, I mean, I went to the 2600 meeting and people were running Linux and it looked like, it reminded me of terminals from like the 90s, the text terminals.
Yes.
You've been asking about those lately, too.
Yeah, now here they are.
Yeah, now here they are. But I can't, I could do it, put it on my computer, but I'd have to choose, it'd be kind of a pain because I'd have to partition the hard drive and do this and do all sorts of...
Wait a minute. You could do it in newer versions. What operating system? I mean, there's lots of... ask around there.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the particulars, but there's all kinds of ways to have fun with it.
Okay. Now, getting to what I want to talk about, I am in Bayside, Queens, in the 718 area code. There's a couple of exchanges, and all of them that used to do 9901 used to say the central office and the 5ESS. Now they all go to this. The number you've reached is not in service, but we can help you find another list. All the exchanges in Bayside, Queens do that.
Okay.
Remember when I told you that?
I remember you telling us this every week.
And also, some of the 212279 exchange, the old WBAI exchange, now it just lists the area codes that it serves. We serve area code 212-929 and 347, or something like that. That says they don't say the exchanges that it lists and all. It just says the area codes it lists.
What a disappointment.
Yeah.
It's being relegated.
There's all sorts of 3D printers and laser cutters here. And I wonder if there's any else. No.
That's awesome.
They're going to come here every week.
I'll bet you'll never leave.
Well, actually, I can't because I'm not a member.
Ah. You should become a member. Support them.
Yeah, but that's true. I should. That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring my portable CB radio and, you know, tinker with that and, you know, the one with the little rubber antenna and...
Anything that you want to fix or, you know, explore, by all means, that's the place.
Yeah, that's what it's for. We're trying to find out somebody who stole an electric bicycle. We have their phone number, but we're trying to find out what their last name is. But we here at the Hackerspace, we found out that it's an AT&T cell phone.
Okay, those are very exotic. They are everywhere. Rebel, I know you mentioned you had an electric bicycle. This wouldn't be your electric bicycle that got stolen, would it?
Actually, it would be.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry.
And actually, I lent this person. I've known this person for a couple of years.
Wait, you know who it is, then? You know who it is.
Well,
so
I know. I actually don't. I mean, I kind of have the first name, but it's a friend of a friend, so it's kind of a long story. And you know, it's like, you know, kind of, you know, you thought you trusted the person, and, you know, and then now he's, you know, I know the first name. I know where he lives in fucking Queens.
Let me tell you about people, Rebel. People will always let you down. You gotta keep a wary eye out whenever you have a person in your life. That's all I gotta say. Alex has some advice for you, I believe. Alex, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Alex,
yeah. One question. One bit of advice. What does this number relate to? This AT&T number. This is not the number of the person
okay.
that you stole.
There's an AT&T. Yeah.
It is.
It's an AT&T phone because we looked it up here at the Hackerspace. So
okay.
I know the first name.
What does this have to do with the crime?
What is that?
What does this have to do with any of the circumstances?
Well, trying to find out where this person is and where he lives and things like that. But if I turn social engineering, TNT, or
come to into possession of this phone number and associate it with the electric bike.
I don't understand what you said. But I could find out what's going on and where the person lives and.
What
his last name is.
What Alex is asking is, how did you get the phone number in the first place?
Where is it coming from?
From my friend. My friend is, he's a friend of a friend, so my friend gave me his number.
Oh, okay. So here's a little trick with numbers. I don't know if you've tried this or not, but very often people with cell phones will have things like WhatsApp profiles that will have their actual name on them. So if you add
him... Well, it is an actual...
Let him finish, Rebel.
Finish here.
Yeah, let him finish.
Could you add him as a contact in your phone? If you just add, put, you know, whatever random name you want to call it Emmanuel Goldstein in your phone.
Hey.
And then you go into WhatsApp and you look for that contact. You may see a photograph of that person. You might see his name associated with it. Or perhaps in Telegram. Or perhaps in, you know, Signal. But you know, I would take a look on WhatsApp first.
That is a valuable tip, Alex.
Yeah, I know.
That might be the most
That's
helpful thing.
Maybe I'll try that. I could try that and see if he has Twitter or Instagram or...
Well, go for WhatsApp first to basically try to do a reverse lookup on that telephone number because he might be on a mobile device that's registered on WhatsApp with that number.
Now, Alex, what you just told Rebel is very handy in tracking somebody down, possibly tracking somebody down. What would you say to people who don't want to be tracked down to avoid falling into that trap? Obviously, this is something they overlooked.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a very rudimentary but effective technique that people very often overlook, right? You want to connect a phone number to a name, that's a very good way of doing it. But if you don't want that to happen, don't use your real name associated with that telephone number on a WhatsApp profile. Or just don't associate your phone number with a WhatsApp profile because it's, I don't think there's a setting where you can't be looked up. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure if you have the ability to change those types of privacy settings.
Interesting.
Why don't you guys have WhatsApp so that we can see each other, like I can put it on my WhatsApp and when you call
I think you just explained it. I think Alex just explained why we don't.
Okay. The thing is that when I called this person, it says, "Ding-a-ding, the party you've called is not accepting incoming calls," or something like that. And I recognized that recording from when my ass friend, who I know, who knows this person, had the same recording a couple of years ago. And sometimes it would be, I guess, I don't know if he's turning off his phone or because I call the same number and he'd answer. So I don't know what that means. Is a way to block calls temporarily or something? Or
all kinds of things can happen with cell phones. Kyle, you were having an episode with your phone where it was blocking you. and then it wasn't blocking you when you're trying to access your voicemail.
Yeah, I had a phone number forwarding, and it was disrupting a lot of the functionality that I was expecting with my voice and message system.
Yeah, so that happens all the time.
They may
I call from different phone numbers and get the same thing.
Really?
But then you get something different.
No, you don't get something different. You get the same kind of recording. The party you have called is not one I'd accept. Or something like that.
Well, you know, one trick that I like to do is basically, I can tell you to do this, but figure out how to forge your caller ID, which is pretty simple, and then you call from that number itself. And sometimes that gets a different response. Sometimes you wind up writing their voicemail, too, because some people don't really think it through, and they say, yeah, it'd be convenient for me not to have to enter my password from my phone. So if I'm calling from my phone, just log me into my voicemail without asking for a password. However, if somebody emulates your phone number on caller ID and then calls that, they're going to get into your voicemail.
Right, I see what you're saying. That's kind of tricky. And now I just want to ask Alex a question. They said that because I lent the guy my bike, I said, oh, yes, you want to go up to the down the block? And then, yeah, you can use it. And then he just never came back. They said that's a civil thing because you let him use your bike and it's not a theft.
Wait, hold on a second. You lent him your bike, he rode down the street and he just got smaller and smaller and didn't come back? And that's
right.
What this is about?
Right.
Okay, I don't think lending someone your bike means that they can keep it forever. But Alex, you're the lawyer. Tell me if that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's theft, right? It's when you have the intention to keep it. Right, so you know, if he has the intention of let's say bringing it back in an hour or something like that, you know, arguably wouldn't be theft. But if he had the intention to keep it and you didn't authorize him to do it, it's not technically a civil thing. Just because you gave him authorization to ride the bike doesn't mean you gave him authorization to keep the bike. Is that what the police told you, Rebel? That this is a civil thing?
That's what the people who I made the complaint to the precinct.
Yeah, they're wrong about that. They just don't feel like helping you. I'm sorry.
What if you charged him like 25 cents around the block, you know, and then they didn't return it? That's a transaction, right?
Yeah, but that'd still be theft, right? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. That would escalate it to theft instead of the civil nonsense you're talking about. But don't ever let go of the handlebars.
Look, Rebel, do you have proof of ownership of that bike?
Yes.
Okay, that's a simple thing. If you locate where the bike is and you say, hey, that's my bike, I can prove it, and this person stole it.
Right. So even though I let him use it, and I was assuming that he was going to come back, and trusting him, he never came back.
Now, Rebel, does that friend that you know this person through, do they have anything to say about this? I mean, what's their kind of case?
Well, he said, you know, he doesn't know, and he was there when I lent, because I let him ride it, too. Now, I let this person ride this bike before, a couple of years ago, and, you know, of course, he brought it back, because, you know. But, it's not something that I've just, somebody that I just met and my friend introduced me to, hey, this is Kevin, and then
he's
like, oh,
his name? We don't want to know who he is. Don't tell us his name.
Well, I don't know his last name.
Okay, and neither do we. We don't want to. But here's the thing. If your friend was there, okay, and witnessed all this, he's a witness. Is he going to help you?
He did try and help me by giving me his phone number.
Okay, which you assume is his phone number, but... You know, if he's still the friend of this guy and he still sees him and he's not doing anything about this, I question if he's really your friend.
Well, he says he's not going to hang out with him because of what he did. I don't know. That's what he said.
Okay, well, that's something, I guess.
I don't know. That's what I'm going to try, the social media thing. Maybe I could traffic the social media.
Yeah, but, you know, just finding him won't necessarily get him to give you bike back. But
right, that's true. Is there anything that we could do here at this hacker fair that, because you said it's that social media, entering that phone number in, like, you got to go through WhatsApp, don't you?
Well, finding out the guy's name is a good start. I can't believe your friend doesn't know his full name.
I don't know. I mean,
That would be a good start because you could learn a lot very quickly and create some pretty funny scenarios where all of a sudden it's compelling to give the bike back.
Do you know your friend's full name?
Yeah.
Okay, so go on to Facebook or Twitter or whatever place.
I did that. Facebook, he doesn't have a Facebook, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure? Well, if he did.
Well, my friend has a Facebook, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Go on your friends and look for any you said Kevin. Fine. Look for anybody with that name or anybody with that face.
I looked. It's not on Facebook. I looked.
Okay, well, you know, at some point he might have mentioned him somewhere. There's always more information to be found if you keep looking.
Try to think of what else you know about them and what direction they went and where you were there. You know all that, yeah. But just try to piece some of that stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. You know, you know what happens to bicycle thieves?
What?
They make bicycle thief pie.
Wow, where'd you get that one, Kyle? That's very dark.
Yeah. Rules are rules.
Well,
I suggest,
I've had this for 2 years. I've had this for 2 years, this bike. I mean,
I suggest watching the film Bicycle Thief from Italy in the 1930s, was it? It was an excellent film. 40s, 50s? It's about a bicycle thief, but it's kind of, you know, who is the bicycle thief? I'm not going to give it away.
It's a good movie.
It'll make you feel better.
So sorry that happened.
It's not an electric bicycle, though, so don't get your hopes up on that.
Right.
But don't give up and just keep looking for more details. There's always more details out there someplace. There's always something. There's always a clue.
No, he could have sold the bike. He could have just sold it.
He could have sold it. That's true.
At his own peril. You're going to get to the bottom of this, Rebel. Just don't lose faith. Keep asking around. Sounds like you have a good team there that could help you sort some of the details out. But
don't let people ride your bike.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I guess checking pawn shops. I mean, you're gonna have to do all that kind of stuff if you really want it back and try to compare the serial number and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean,
and
a pawn shop. I think it's like I don't know if he would sell it to a pawn shop or a bike shop.
You think he would just ride? But then if he rides it around and you catch up with him, could lead to a tense situation, and or it could be a really positive situation if you're like, hey. That's not fair, and you got, you know, some support.
And listen, don't let your friend off the hook either. Your friend introduced you. Your friend was there when it happened. He bears some responsibility for this. And certainly it's possible that he still is in contact with this person. So I don't want to say that he was in on it, but he definitely is not uninvolved.
Now, I wish this was off the hook on the radio so I could mention this, what's going on to the... You know, all of New York City can, you know.
Well, we're not going to mention it off the hook on the radio, especially since you can't call in. But we do hope you get it back, and we'll offer any advice we can get. I'm sure your new hacker friends at the Hackerspace will help you.
And maybe you have some ideas for a bicycle LoJack or something.
I'm going to put tile on it if I get it back, or I'm going to put tile. I have a regular bike.
AirTag type,
regular bike.
Either,
is,
but I have the tire.
You'll be better in better shape. You'll be stronger, and you'll be able to catch up to the.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it for 10 years, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, sorry to hear this happen, but it does happen, and maybe that's a warning to other people out there, not to lend your stuff out to people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's say goodbye from. Let's say goodbye from here, Leo. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Leo.
Have fun.
Great talking.
Hello.
Hack the planet, indeed. Yes. Said from a hackerspace, that matters.
And others.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time, Rebel. Good luck with all that.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks.
You know, when I was a kid, I remember this. There was this kid that I would always let ride my bike, you know, because he didn't have a bike and I did. And I'd always let him ride it. Then one day he got a bike. He got a brand new bike. And I asked to ride it. And what do you think he said? He said, no, his parents said nobody can ride his new bike. I told my mother about that. And then he let me ride it. That's the kind of involvement you want parents to get into. You know, instances of justice like that. But you know what? We've fallen out of touch. I don't even remember his name.
Wow.
I was six, so I don't remember anybody's name back then. Okay, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. If anybody out there would like to talk to us about any other issue, please feel free to dial those numbers, and we'll be happy to put you on the air. And let us know. Maybe somebody out there has seen 2600 The Hacker Quarterly, the documentary motion picture that grossed $1 million and got positive reviews from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Los Angeles Times. Among others. I'm sure I could ask Google Bard to make up some more crap about this.
I'm thinking it's going to actually produce the film with the next installment or whatever of the GTP setup there. Uh-huh. Maybe it will actually produce the full length.
Well, I mean, it's using our name. They made $1 million off of it. You know, I think we should get a taste of that. This is a lot here that is keeping me up at night. You know, it's...
Yeah, there's some loose ends, stuff we got to deal with, production side.
Yeah. ChatGPT has no idea what I'm talking about, by the way. Never heard of the film. But Google Bard, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I said ChatGPT. They're competing, right? They don't share a brainstem whatever it is.
Yet.
Yeah, what happens when they, like, become one, like... by osmosis, sort of like meld into one another with modules and so forth. Is that a third AI or machine learning in and of itself? Like, is it wholly new, or is it just the evolution? There will be a name for it.
Alex, are you there? It looks like he's doing something else.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. It looks like you're
soldering something. I don't know. It looks like you're busy.
Yeah, soldering, yes. Yeah, no, not soldering. Yeah.
Well, do we have any? If anyone calls, we can go home early.
Well, the line is open now.
Right, we're going to give it a couple more minutes. 802-321-4225, because you know, eventually we run out of things to say to ourselves. And
we don't have things to
talk. You know, we've been talking for a while, right? So, you know.
We've been blathering on for quite some time, but not as long as we usually do. So
we have the opportunity. We have a lot more room for discussion with callers.
Maybe, Alex, if you ask for a call, somebody will take it seriously.
Sure. 802-321-4225. Call us. The phone lines are open, and our operators are standing by. Remember when commercials were like that, right? And everything, for some reason, you know, you had to, it always took like 6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, you had to always mail some kind of self-addressed stamped envelope to wherever in Omaha, Nebraska.
Or send a postcard. And I always wondered, would people send postcards saying greetings from the Statue of Liberty? I never did that. I never requested something using a postcard. But the 6 to 8 weeks waiting for something to arrive and no CODs, I remember that as well. That was a special time.
Quaint.
Yeah, very quaint.
Yeah, but why was it always, what was going on in Omaha, Nebraska?
I don't know. Pueblo, Colorado, that's where all the government printing took place.
It was a process.
That's totally different.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just there. It was other places as well that had various things.
Yeah.
I hear the phone, Kyle. Do you not hear the phone? Okay. So we have a phone call? All right. Good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Call from New Jersey.
New Jersey! Great state.
That's right. Thanks. I'm not a first-time caller. I have called before. I love your show. I listen to you guys all the time.
Why, thank
you. Two things. I'll try to just have one. About, like, naming, categorizing media. You know, I only learned this myself when I was going to these fact-checking websites. Like, one of them is media bias factcheck.org or com or whatever, and stuff like that. How they categorize, one of the ways they categorize, one criteria they use is it commercially funded, government funded, or listener funded? I guess that's like the other category.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that right there to me kind of closes the whole confusion, which it seems to me like a lot of people maybe just aren't aware of that. Like,
right.
You're calling a BBC one thing. BBC is funded by, they're a government, they're government funded. Deutsche Welle in Germany is government funded. You know, Fox News is commercially funded. WBAI, listener. Like, and that at least gives you three different ways to know. And it's a good thing to know, too, because a commercial media is going to be, they're going to be pro-business.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to run anti-union stuff as much, let's just say. For example, a government-funded site, yeah, isn't going to maybe talk as much trash about the president or if the government's not doing something. So, and then listener-sponsored is, you know, supposed to be, in a way, neither of those, but then, you know, whatever, has its own drawbacks. That's just something I wanted to put out there, I guess, for listeners. Just
yeah.
I feel like I hear a lot of people talk about it. Even friends of mine, and even myself. I mean, I didn't know it until I was looking this stuff up in the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's not a binary. It's not the binary people want it to be. Like, it's either this or that.
Right. Right.
You know, I agree for the most part. I'm a little uncertain about BBC. I hear what you're saying about them being government funded, but it does come from the listeners and the viewers. However, it's mandated that they pay a licensing fee where that money goes to them, but it's not controlled by the government. In other words, they don't say you can't cover this story or things like that. However, it's probably more in that direction than we're used to here. So I don't know. It's a tricky one because that's kind of a combination.
Yeah, that is tricky. I guess maybe comes down to the government that's funding it. And if it's a government, let's say, whatever, Russia, China, Myanmar, or something that's funding it, then kind of obvious that it's going to be government controlled and funded. But in more democratic places, the government technically is supposed to be run by people to begin with.
It quickly becomes philosophical, right? About where your information is coming from. And, of course, you know, they're broadcasting in the public interest for the public good, presumably, and they have a mandate serve in that function. And, of course, for breaking news or emergencies and the like, they're an important emergency resource, which is very, very similar to all the broadcast types, TV, radio, the sort of traditional older types in the U.S. So you could argue there's a public interest and there is a certain loyalty to the audience, which may be from that country, right, respectively. So you get into philosophical good, like what is the purpose of this broadcast?
I remember when Trump was in power, people were calling Fox News state media. And I always had a problem with that because for the same reason, when Trump was out of power, Fox is still Fox. It's not like they suddenly changed to Biden propaganda. They're still right-wing. That's why I think right-wing media fits them, because whether their person is in power or not, they're going to have the same philosophy.
Hey, that was another criteria on the media bias fact check. There's just one site. I'm not trying to say it's the best one. There's other ones, other ones out there. But that was another thing that they say is, does it lean left or does it lean right?
Right.
And they have their own metrics, and each site has their own kind of metrics, and that's how you can kind of think to yourself whether you're going to believe them or not. But, yeah, that was another criteria they had.
Go ahead.
How many times has a story been retracted or proven false or something like that?
Right.
That's another criteria that they had. So
like
if they had a bunch of strikes against them.
Yep.
What was the name of the site that you were referencing?
This was Media Bias Fact Check. I'm pretty sure that's it. I could be a little bit off with that, and I don't even know if it was a .org or not. And then when I went and looked at that site, and then I looked at some other sites, and what I found was they all use different criteria, and even the sites themselves are run by different types of groups of people. Some of them are, like, related to universities. Some of them are just, like, I don't know, a couple friends that came up with this thing. They used to be journalists or something like that. So even those things, I'm just not saying, like, you know, not for people to kind of swallow whole what they say when they're, like, saying that a media outlet is good or bad, but just that, like, we should at least be starting to all speak the same language when we go to ask what is the media that we're listening to.
Very true.
It's going to be more complicated. Like you said, it's not going to be black and white. I'm sorry. That's how things are. Not going to be black and white.
Right,
it's going to be complicated.
Yeah. No, I like that you said that. You pointed that out. That even the fact checkers themselves may be taken worth a grain of salt, or may have a certain weight or validity because of their reputation.
Well, I think we can all agree that Elon Musk is not the arbiter. He's not the one that has all the answers.
That's a takeaway.
He's not ahead. He's not ahead in that way.
I'd like to categorize him.
Mention that. I'll jump off after this. Is what I find interesting. You guys talk about ChatGPT, and you know we try to ask it stuff that we want to be fact based, and then it lies or it gives us, you know, answers that aren't actually based in fact or whatever. And I'm just kind of thinking to myself, like, the real purpose I feel like of this is to be creative. This thing is to not make facts, but to, like, make crazy stuff up that sounds funny or cool. And you know, I could be wrong about that, but I feel like that's what it's doing. And that, to me, I thought was what we thought would be the final hurdle for AI to get over was that there's no way it'll be able to be creative. that can't be, and now it's like it's coming up with stuff that's just as creative.
Well, it's not telling us.
I think it's funny. That
it's not telling us it's being creative. It's pretending to tell the truth and actually making up fiction. But you know, we had some success with ChatGPT when we asked it to write a David Lynch film about hackers, and it wasn't bad.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
See, that's what I mean. That was kind of creative. A dark room. He's throwing some adjectives, envisioning what it's the scene might be like.
Exactly.
For
yeah.
That connective linguistic transitional verbiage, all of the work, the assembly of it, based on those cues. But it's as good as how you how much information you and the criteria you feed it.
Here's the thing though, with the film that Google Bard made up, it attached a real life person to it and said they were the director. How does that person feel? You know, they didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah. That's when it gets. They have to put that little statement at the beginning that says, "If this film has any relation to real life, like it's not on purpose or something."
Well, they should say that before they say anything on Google Bard, I guess.
Every single thing that comes out should have that little watermark on it.
Yeah, it's probably there somewhere in the, mm-hmm. in the page. Like, do not trust. Step away.
Anything else?
I appreciate you guys taking my call. I appreciate you guys taking my call and then jump off so somebody else can get online.
Okay,
thank you.
Great.
I love the show.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. Take
How's
care.
Doing? Have a good night.
Bye.
New Jersey, there you go.
Great conversation. Those are good questions and so very true.
802-321-4225 remains our phone number. We have a toll-free number, too, don't we? But I always forget that. Does anybody have that in their head? No?
888.
Alex is doing something else.
70, what's the Vermont 321-HACK?
Hey, Alex, it's us.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just...
You're doing another radio show for somebody else?
Doing a little coding at the same time here. I got some things I gotta sort out, but I'm listening. I'm here.
Well, do you know what the toll free number is? Because I don't.
It's 1-800 something.
Okay, first of all, it's not 1-800. It's 1-8 something else.
I'll tell you who would know. It's Eleanor. Eleanor, whose name she always wanted us to speak.
Okay, remember? Now that you've spoken her name, maybe you could give her a call and find out what the phone number is.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know her number, but. We haven't heard from her ever since you refused to say her name.
I said her name.
Not in full, as she wants.
Because we don't say full names. That's long been our policy because of privacy issues, because we're hackers and we know that. We know about privacy. We know it's not a good idea to give someone's full name out and say where they're from. If you want to do that on your own, go ahead, but we're not gonna help. Not with that. Even though somebody is generous to us and would like that, wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
Your call is in our good care here, and we take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm. And do we have a call?
We have an open phone line for the next caller.
So the phone number remains country code 1, for those of you overseas, 802-321-4225.
Hack.
Yeah, hack is what that spells. In case you have letters on your phone, does anybody still have letters on their keypads? I don't know if people still do.
Well, I'll have to put it on a T-shirt so people remember.
All right, we'll give it a couple minutes, and then we can retire early. That'd be kind of nice. Alex, any adventures this week?
Jeez. I had went to this boulder park out in the Poconos. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
What is a boulder park?
Climbing.
It's a park full of giant rocks that have been there for about 20,000 years, and I was over there. It's in Hickory Run State Park in the Poconos, and it's this fascinating park. I've been there a couple of times now. But, you basically have to drive into the middle of this massive state park, and you're driving for a while, and then it turns into this dirt road. It's very narrow, and it seems like it should be a one lane road, but it's got two way traffic on it. It feels like you could be driving in Italy or something like that. It feels very European in a sense because of how narrow the roads are. And then you go in for miles on these one-lane roads, and then all of a sudden you come to this area that's kind of cleared a little bit, and it's kind of like a makeshift parking lot, and you walk over to this edge, and then out of nowhere is just, as far as you can see, these massive white kind of orangey boulders in the middle of this forest,
who
with
put
no
them,
trees.
Who put them there?
Well, obviously aliens. I mean, come
wow,
on.
Wow, okay. Well, yeah. So what are you supposed to do when you drive all this way and you see all these boulders? It's just you take a picture and go home?
No, you can climb on the boulders and you can walk amongst them and you can go, just kind of have fun on the boulders.
It's a form of recreation.
Have fun on the boulders.
It's this bizarre scene because all around you is, very, very heavily wooded areas. And out of nowhere is just this massive boulder field, right? So it feels very incongruous with the surroundings. It feels like you could be on another planet or something. It's definitely odd. It's very, very strange.
And are there boulder people there that are sharing the experience?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Well, I wouldn't say a lot of people over there, but I've never been there by myself. There's always others that are there. And what was really interesting when I was there this past weekend is because it was actually Easter Sunday when I went over there. So most people, I guess, are doing Easter, right? You know, unless you're Jewish. But the majority of people that I was seeing out at the state park were all Orthodox Jews. You know, most of them from Brooklyn. You know, just kind of out in Pennsylvania and out in the Poconos. And one of them came up to me as I was going into the parking lot, and I see a couple of the Orthodox Jews over there. So I rolled down the window and I said, you know, Happy Pesach, Happy Passover, Chag Sameach. And then they showed up at my car, like three of these guys, big guys too. And they just said to me, do you have a jack? I said, wow, what do you mean, do I have a jack? Like, what is this?
Sounds like they had a flat tire, and they know that they can bump you.
Flat tire.
Yeah, flat tire. It's not hard to interpret
so
that.
So I got my jack up for them.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you know, so I get the jack. Then it turns out I had the jack, but I didn't know this. I was missing the metal piece that you use to crank the jack over.
Oh, my goodness.
So they didn't have a jack, nor did they have a metal piece, right? So, we're there trying to figure out, you know, what we can use to crank this thing up.
Screwdriver?
What's that?
Screwdriver?
No, we didn't have a screwdriver either. Not one that would fit.
You can't go into the boulders unprepared like this.
So what'd you use? How'd you figure this out?
Well, one thing that wound up working for a little while was if you took the back, like your seat post off, like the headrest of your seat.
Ah, yeah.
That's smart, right? It's got this iron bars underneath it. You could use that to turn it until it starts to get, you know, too heavy, right, for it. Then this guy came in a big pickup truck with a U.S. Marine Corps T-shirt on. And
no way he doesn't have a screwdriver.
Well, he didn't have a screwdriver or a jack.
Oh, my God.
I know. This is crazy, right? So then another guy shows up in this van. And so he comes out and they're asking me, you know, do you have a jack or do you even, you know, just have like the metal piece over there for the jack? And he said, you know, I think I do. But then he couldn't figure out how to get the jack out of the back of his car. So it was like the jack was extended and he couldn't figure out how to retract the jack so that it would become smaller. And he was able to pull it out of the side pocket in the back of, you know, what was essentially...
Hold on a second. And all these people, not one of them has a jack.
Well, this is the thing, yeah. And the interesting thing, though, about this guy, too, eventually I showed him how to retract the jack. We were able to do it manually with our hand. He got the jack out. And then he comes over and he hands over the metal bar so that we could turn my jack over that's already underneath the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over at this guy, and he was... You know, another guy with a really long beard. He wasn't wearing just a white shirt. He had kind of like a parka or something over him. I looked at him and I said, you know, I think this is another Orthodox Jew that just showed up in the parking lot, right? So I said to him, I said, you know, did you guys come together? And he said, no, we didn't. He said, we just happened to be here at the same time. He said, you know, we're part of the same tribe. I was driving around for half an hour until I could find the entrance to this place. And then I showed up and there's another, you know, guy who's Orthodox, you know, with a flat tire. So I'm like, oh, well, this is, you know, kind of weird, right? So then at the end of it, we got the tire done. Everybody was happy. We got this donut on.
Uh-huh.
And then we made the joke, how many Jews does it take to change a tire?
Wow.
You know, it was actually very funny because there were a whole bunch of us there. And, you know, really it took like 7 or 8 people to change one tire because nobody had a jack.
That was quite a story, much longer than I was hoping for, because I just wanted to fill the time. We had a caller on almost the entire story, but I did want to say...
You should have told me that.
I couldn't interrupt a story like that.
That was too good.
Yeah, elements. And also, just one little fact to inject. You said that it's Easter last Sunday, which you're correct on partially, but Orthodox Easter is next Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Christos and Esther.
Yeah, it was Palm Sunday for the Orthodox community, the other Orthodox community.
Okay. That's right.
We have a phone call, and this person is very patient. Thank you for waiting. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, everyone. This is Johnny Fusion this week.
Hey, Johnny Fusion. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm out of the hospital a week.
Awesome.
And doing okay. You know, I celebrated my birthday last week.
Oh, great. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm getting up there. You know, the old hat is getting older.
Well, you can always get another hat.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, you know, this large language model and their propensity for hallucination and a little bit about why this happens.
Go right ahead.
So the thing about these large language models is they don't actually have knowledge. They're about putting together conversation, right? You know, putting one word in front of the other in a way that makes grammatical and syntax sense, right? And facts don't really come into play. Like, I've heard large language models described as spicy autocomplete.
Yeah, I was thinking that when we were talking earlier. Audio autocomplete is like sort of something you use. You don't necessarily trust it. You use it more in an editing way, much in the way that people started using word processors to edit in real time and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying, I've had this little witticism for a long time that Google knows everything, but sometimes it lies.
Yeah, that seems to be true.
You know, and for this last article I wrote, you know, I used this service called Character AI. And they actually do have a disclaimer that says everything our AI says is made up, right? Because everything's fictional. Like, everything is a fantasy. These things, you know, it's not based in reality, and they're very straightforward for that. And I think this is just kind of, you know, a bit of the hype machine that these corporations are doing with the AI, and they're not being completely honest about the limitations of AI, because they're selling the hype of what they're doing, and they're overselling.
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, and the hype and the anxiety, like we've talked in past weeks and what I wrote the article about the fear of AI replacing human creative endeavor. And it's just not there yet, you know, because what AI does, like what it generates, humans have to fix. Because there was a story of one of the papers, they wrote a health article, and at the end, you know, they did the big reveal that, oh, by the way, this article was completely written by AI. And the thing is, though, everything in the article was wrong, and it was supposedly health information, and it was misinformation.
Oh, wow.
Like, it got through editorial, and they just trusted whatever the AI said. And people are, you know, and you see this in, like, on Reddit and Facebook and stuff like this, where people are using these large language models as a substitute for search engines. And it's a complete misuse of the technology, because these large language models are living in a fantasy world. You know, they're just making shit up, and it's not reliable as facts.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see that. I think that people's eyes are opening to this.
Yeah, and, like, code-wise, like, large language models are not programmers, right? So what they're going by is any code examples that are in their database.
Yeah.
Right? Or in their training set, I should say, not database, because of how neural nets are made.
And applying syntactic rules based on whatever language you're talking about, presumably, right?
Right, right. But they don't understand the logic of the language. And so they're going by code examples without actual cognition or understanding of how the computer language functions.
That's why I was...
Because they're seeing it as grammar, not as logic.
That's why I was suggesting recipes might be interesting to play with, because...
Oh, boy.
Just trying to follow the directions, if it's trained on all of that, or like you're saying, if it's just... puts something together based on ingredients you say you have in different proportions.
The first person poisoned, the lawsuits, who's responsible? I can just see it all playing out now.
Well, would it even taste like any kind of approximation that a human would be able to, as a cook, be able to interpret?
Oh, okay, I have an idea.
Or
the
something
artificial
like
intelligence cookbook. Read it at your own risk. And it'll just come up with all kinds of weird dishes. You can try it, but we're not responsible for what happens.
I'm certain there's been TikToks and YouTube that have already done this experiment.
Oh,
okay.
Damn it.
It's over.
You know,
yeah.
I've seen people do crochet patterns.
Okay.
And they've turned out awful.
yeah, that's again, I think, is just more evidence of the kind of point we're making here, that it's fantasy, like you said, in the fantasy world.
Well, you know, I think it's up to us as hackers to try and break this as much as possible and try to make it do things that's embarrassing and obviously wrong, just so we can make it clear that this doesn't replace us. This doesn't replace human beings. It doesn't replace individuals writing. And if you do depend on that and think that that's the answer, you're going to rue the day. You will.
Yeah, and... You know, and the premise, that's the whole premise of what you're going to publish of me in an upcoming issue, is that humans aren't replaceable. Like, we're not interchangeable. Like, what you write and what I write are not interchangeable because we're unique individuals. I have a unique voice, you have a unique voice, and even if we got artificial general intelligence, like, I really do think it's going to happen eventually. Right? We're not there yet. But I really do think we're going to have real machine intelligence someday. But even when we do, it's not going to replace us. It's going to be beside us. It's going to be our little digital sibling, you know, who's going to work hand in hand with us. Or maybe automate menial things, but of course we got to break away from capitalism and have our basic needs met, you know, either through universal basic income or universal needs just met, you know, housing and clothing and food and education and enrichment and all that stuff, get away from the grind, you know. But, you know, so automation can be a good thing, but, I mean, they're doing it ass backwards. They're saying, here, let AI create art and have everyone work in their cubicles, which is wrong. It should be the other way around.
Yeah, I just felt like the usefulness in the real world, as you're saying, is where the direction that where I think they want the usefulness to be eventually, like you said, and it may emerge. But the product, like now, in this moment, like you were talking about earlier, the hype itself is, you know, the types of examples we were thinking that people have shown to be wrong and just don't work. Like, oh, you can make, you know, come up with, have it make recipes and do all this stuff custom. You know, that was the sort of selling point. And again, I don't even know if there's an actual product now. I think really what it is to get people to use it and revise it in real time based on public inquiries. And, I mean, that's a lot of how Google search engine emerged, right? I mean, people were using it. We were all using it.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, again, it's being used by surveillance capitalism. We are the product. We're feeding it with our queries, because these are conversational. We're having conversations with it, and it's learning from us. Everything we type into ChatGPT or into Bard goes into its data set.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm going, is that, like, there may be sets of information that you don't even want to go, you don't want entered into it, you don't want it in there at all, otherwise you're all of a sudden being credited for having produced a documentary that you didn't produce, you know, and stuff like that. And, there is serious interest in not supplying it with information, because I think that's really what is going on now, why it looks like a lot of hype and doesn't really fit with the way it's being described. And it's basically to get a lot of people to use it in different ways so that, I mean, even if it's training itself on all of the activity, there's going to be aspects of it, I think, that from a management perspective, they're going to just look at and say, like, ooh, let's do more of that. And, like, let's get good at this. We can build that into this product we already have and just make more dog food or whatever.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, you know, like you talked about on the radio show about the leak of the top secret documents, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
You know these AI models have secret information in them because of someone brainstorming with either proprietary company information or government information. And OpenAI or Google or whoever's doing these models has been fed proprietary or secret information.
That's a really interesting part of it, too, is like how compartmentalized is it if it's being trained on everything or actively modified and so forth. I mean, there's probably strict rules about how this is being used in different government and private enterprises. And for those specific reasons, but you're right, there's probably a lot of really public information that it could put together, but again, in a creative way, but if it's verifiable and so forth, yeah, it could be like kind of more too much information, like in real life.
Yeah, because there was somebody who was being lazy.
Right,
who
right.
Who wanted, you know, who just decided to use it. Like supposedly these top secret documents were leaked on Discord to win an argument, right? Because it was an online beef, right?
Right, right.
It was like a flame war or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this guy had clearance and he needed to be right on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And So it was a leaning right-wing Discord, and women do not fare well in those spaces. So I presume a guy.
Yeah, it sounds to me that if you want to get more leaked documents out there, just get into a lot of arguments with a lot of people, and eventually somebody's gonna crack and say, oh, here's the proof, and show you something they're really not supposed to share.
Yeah, like that tank game. I mean, like every week there's some military secret on their forums.
Oh, really? But tell us more about this. No, we know nothing about this.
So there's this tank simulator game. Well, it started off as tanks, but now they got jets and ships and other stuff like that. And the selling point of this tank sim is its accuracy to real-world hardware. And so, and it's, real life soldiers like playing this game from the real military. And when a simulated tank or piece of military hardware is a little bit off in the simulation, they get on the forums and they complain. And lots of times to back up how the simulation is wrong, they'll upload to the forums military classified documents about these weapon system capabilities to this tank game forum, you know, and just leak it to the world to say, hey, get your game right.
That is a special kind of, like, first world problem, you know? That, like, guys getting
but
mad.
But it's American military, Chinese military, Russian military, like, all different militaries. And, yeah, it's like, I'm exaggerating by saying every week, but it's like,
no, I've heard
about
anecdotes.
Six or seven times a year,
yeah,
there's a leak on this forum of some weapon system capability.
And they have proximity to a lot of the equipment, their interests, and, of course, playing the game. And they are using the platforms and the forums in public, you know, with people they can't really verify who they are or anything. And their personal pride is sort of outweighing their judgment.
Yeah, especially when they lose, because they think they're...
Right.
Their online simulated tank or fighter jet should have been able to win the skirmish or whatever, and they get mad and they say, "No, see, this has this capability."
All right.
And yeah.
Well,
bless you.
Yes. Are we done for the night, you think? I think we are.
Yeah, we could be done.
All right.
Yeah, we just passed top of the hour.
Yeah,
so,
I just saw the clock up there. And
is there any other story or?
I just wanted to talk about, you know, the large language models. Like, they have no knowledge about the world, right? They're just making conversation, and they're making shit up.
Yep.
As you found out about the 2600 movie.
Which I still want to see. Maybe somebody will.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be great? Yeah, I'd come up with a better title than that, though. It's a pretty lousy, unimaginative title, but I guess they're busy doing other things.
Yeah, I mean, I'd watch that movie.
Yeah, well, let's see if maybe the people named will make it now that Bard has said they did. And
well, it was good talking to everyone.
Yeah, it's good hearing from you. I'm glad you're out of the hospital, and hope you stay healthy.
I'm trying.
All right.
I'm trying.
Okay,
good
then.
Good night.
Take care. And I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Yeah, let's call it. Any final words from you guys?
No. I think it was a lot of great conversation tonight and some really interesting topics. So we'll see how this whole Bellingcat thing goes over the next couple of weeks. I'm really curious about that. I'm sure we're going to continue to talk about that one.
The which now?
The Discord leaks that Bellingcat had covered.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't think has an official name yet, but I think it's the 2023 Pentagon documents leak.
Look, I think we should
something.
We should make some predictions. So I predict by next week they'll know who it was. Come on, guys, come up with a prediction like that.
I don't know. I think it's going to be longer than that. I think that there very well may be some kind of foreign intelligence angle here, and I don't think we're going to learn who's actually behind this for a while.
Because it's a foreign a foreign source.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might take a little while to unwind, or it might be of such a nature that criminal charges can't be brought.
I'll say Friday, then.
This Friday?
Yeah, this Friday.
Okay. Well,
I said it.
All right.
I don't know. You want to make it interesting.
I'll say midnight. How about that?
Yeah, step on it.
See, you just did like the $1 over on the prices, right?
I probably did. I'm just... I got pressed. That's what you want.
I do think they will find somebody involved with this. If there's already somebody out there saying they know who it is, right? So... if that's the case, then someone else is going to talk for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there haven't been official warrants or any kind of persons of interest, and of course that always can come with some sort of reward.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put pressure on because this is not a good situation for the international world stage and the State Department itself and their interests and.
Well, it's good for somebody.
Trust.
It's good for us. You have to ask yourself, who is this good for? And that might lead you somewhere.
You know? That's a good, those lines of inquiry. That's exactly the kind of thinking. Like,
or is,
imaginative.
Is a particular injustice a la Snowden being revealed here that, might benefit us knowing? So these are the questions that have to be asked. But considering there are documents out there, considering there are pictures of documents out there, there might be something that gives a hint as to where they're from or what they've been through to get there. So we'll know more. We'll learn more. This all happened within a week or so where people found out about it.
Yeah, I wasn't following it at all. I didn't know that the story had evolved as much. I was just catching up a little bit. I didn't even know what was in it. I just heard people talking about it happening. So everyone's still trying to get the facts right of what exactly it was about.
All right.
Well, I'll predict this too, though. If this is somebody that, you know, is identified accurately within the next couple of days or a week or something like that, then I think that the story behind it is going to be a story of just, you know, absolute stupidity or idiocy, and, you know, somebody taking these documents and getting drunk and uploading things accidentally to a Discord server. Like, it might be some kind of accidental type of situation where the stuff is out there. And then, you know, once you send something, presumably to a Discord server, whether it's intentionally or by accident, you can't reel it back. I don't think so. Maybe it was this accident.
I still think it could be, some kid's dad who had documents in the briefcase and a kid took pictures of them and uploaded them to Discord while he was playing Minecraft and got into an argument with someone. I don't know. It's as sane an argument as anything.
But why are they folded up?
What do you mean, why are they folded up? Why does anyone fold anything up?
Well, if they're in the briefcase, they're going to be in, like, folders.
Maybe there's a lot in the briefcase. Maybe
his dad, like, stuffing his pockets, and I don't know. Just
maybe they got folded by accident. I don't know. Maybe his dad is the spy, and the kid's trying to, do the right thing, but doesn't want to get in trouble himself or herself.
Yeah. Or the person on the Discord server didn't really know what it was. Thought it was part of one of many different sources they get these things, and
or
somewhere else, and then that's itself.
These documents have not been certified as authentic yet, have they, Alex?
Well, I don't think that they have. I think...
So maybe some new form of artificial intelligence generated these at someone's behest, and they're just confusing the hell out of everybody.
that would be a funny story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe the whole beef was artificial intelligence.
Well, I just had a conversation with ChatGPT about sensitive documents, and it wanted no part of it. Receiving them or generating them wanted no part, so you'd be hard-pressed to find artificial intelligence that's more willing.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, you're having a lot of conversations lately with ChatGPT. I feel like there's an intimate relationship evolving here.
I don't even need a keyboard anymore. I hear it all the time.
So much. Okay.
All right. With that, we're gonna leave you until next week. Write to us, oth@2600.com, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI, 8 p.m. on Overtime.